Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Lowe's.
Nap is over, John.
We also have Christina Liu here with us as an early Christina Liu show helping out.
Hello.
And our guest is Director of Education at the SAFE Center, Anthony Zenkus. And just actually before we go back, what's the connection between Christina and...
He was one of my professors in grad school, in social work.
Oh, really?
Grad school, yes.
Yes, and she was one of my students.
And she passed.
She did.
I passed, yes.
Yeah.
And
I took, she needed a lot of extra
help. I
think
I took like 2 or 3 classes. He was one of my favorite. I mean, not to toot his horn. He's a great professor. Yes.
Well, she's say that now, honestly, because you had to get your grade on
this. That's right. I still
in social work.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I'll go offline. I'll tell you her name.
And she goes to Adelphi because that's where I teach.
She goes to Adelphi.
Oh, well, let me tell you. So Adelphi is a great social work school. It's always post because here we are, you know.
Yeah, well, but they're both really good schools.
The New York region actually has a number of excellent social work schools because there's a lot of spirit of volunteerism and helping the community here, which is great. But yeah, Christina was an excellent student and always, you know, and I'm not surprised you're doing the work you're doing now or that you're doing the radio show, because she always contributed to the conversation, asked good questions, and it's all about being a critical thinker and thinking, well, what can we do differently? Yeah.
That'll be nice.
I'm telling you. And so we do. We need to ask questions. We do. And you're asking great questions, you guys.
Well, one of the questions I have, Anthony, is we talked a little bit offline about how a family gets very impacted in many cases by different types of abuse situations. And one of the things I'm hearing that the SAFE Center offers is counseling to the families as well in terms of how to handle those kinds of situations.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, abuse, you're right on with that. Abuse doesn't just affect the one individual who's being harmed. It affects not only the family members and friends around them, and it affects the whole community at large. And we'll get into that in a couple of minutes, hopefully. But I'll give you an example. So I had mentioned earlier that we were two separate agencies that merged, and we did rape, sexual assault, and domestic violence at one agency, child abuse at another. The first...
Totally independent at that point.
Right. And we, you know, we referred people back and forth. We helped each other. We did some cross-training. But we were two separate agencies. When we moved in, the first week we were together, we had a mother whose 13-year-old daughter had been sexually abused by that mother's live-in boyfriend. The mother found out, went for help, called the authorities. In the middle of that interview with the counselor where the mother was talking about what happened to her daughter, the mother broke down and said that she was also a victim of domestic abuse, physical as well as verbal, at the hands of the same boyfriend who had perpetrated against her daughter. And we were literally able to take her by the hand and walk her down the hallway and have her meet with the domestic violence counselor to help assess her safety and see how they could help. And, you know, we would never have been able to do that had we not merged. And in the past, we would have given her a card with our hotline number, 516-542-0404. And we would have said, call this hotline in. She might have, probably not. She was there for her daughter. So not only do the peripheral family members need help dealing with the person who's been abused to help them and support them, often they're suffering in other kinds of ways too. There's a lot of overlap between abuse. It's rarely does a family have just one type of trouble to deal with. In our field, social work or medicine, we're the crazy ones who siloed everything off as separate things, but we know from the work we do, people see their problems as connected, which is why we're trying to be more interdisciplinary in how we're dealing with families and individuals.
You know, I can only imagine how miserable it must be to be living in a situation where you're basically living in fear pretty much the whole day, every day, about your life in general. I mean, it's got to be a terrible feeling, really.
Right.
Nothing good about it.
Oh, I agree. At the end of the day, these are the type of situation in a place like the SAFE Center. It's so important because there's hope. I mean, I have come across situations like this, and it's just your heart breaks. And sometimes the response I'll get, what else can I do? And you know, then I agree, because it's easy for me to say something, no matter who it's to. You should do this. You should make a phone call. You should tell him to go to hell. Whatever you're going to say. What What am I going? I'm going home. You're going out tonight. You're not going to be with me when things start going bad. So it's that very complicated. You can't give advice. The only advice can do is obviously direct somebody to a professional organization.
Well, I think that the key words there is hope. There is hope. There was a point in time when we didn't deal with these issues. There was a point in time when nobody helped children, or very few people helped children who were victims of abuse. There was a point in time when you didn't say the words domestic violence or intimate partner abuse. There was a point in time when women were considered property of their husbands. I mean, our nation has a rich history of not treating everybody equally and fairly. It's been a long road to where we are now. We're not completely there yet. But there is hope available, and people who are being victimized in abusive relationships don't have to go through that alone.
Well, you know, back to that point that you just made, I think there's a one of the problems people have a lot of times is to be able to really relate to another person's position. Like, they look at their position and they don't understand why, how did you get yourself into that?
Good.
You know, why did you do that, you know? Or why can't you get an education? Or why don't you have, you know, the ability to get more work or whatever? Well, maybe your entry level and your situation in life is just not as lucky as somebody else's. And you're starting out with a couple of strikes against you before you even get going.
The other thing, too, is you talk about long-term planning. You know, why don't you go to, you know, take this program so you can get a better job, make more money and leave and be more independent so you don't have to depend on this person who's your abuser. That's easy to say. But when you're in an abusive situation, you're in survival mode all the time. And as humans, when we're in survival mode, we're not engaged in long-term thinking. Think about any time in your lives when, you know, you've had a crisis. You're not planning for the future. You're just trying to get through the crisis. Well, for people who are victims of violence, that crisis is every day. And they just want to get through the day. And sometimes it's about just getting through the hour. Think about this. Lived on Long Island, if you live near on Long Island or in the area, whether it's Queens or, you know, or Nassau or Suffolk, Hurricane Sandy devastated our region. We went from being, you know, many of us, not all of us, many of us living a somewhat comfortable life, some of us middle class, some of us also low socioeconomic status. But and I'm not dismissing the fact that we've got poverty here on Long Island, but people went from their lives being predictable to their lives being completely unpredictable. All of a sudden, there was no electricity for many people. All of a sudden, your house was flooded and you couldn't live there anymore. All of a sudden, the stores were closed. And then for those of us who depend on motor vehicles to get around, all of a sudden there was no gasoline. And each day, more and more was taken away from us. And I know how it felt after 3, 4, 5 days, the stress that I felt. I remember looking in the mirror thinking, I look like I aged 10 years. And you couldn't communicate with people. If you didn't have electricity, you couldn't charge your cell phone. So remember what happened. You weren't planning. You were trying to get through that day, and all you were hoping for was the bad situation to stop. And that's a little window of what it's like. But when you're with abuse, although for us, we knew it would get better. We knew the electricity would come back on. We knew that we would be safe again, many of us.
But you still weren't planning the future during that time.
Right. And
very,
so
it's tremendous.
When we look at people who are victims, they're in that disaster crisis all the time. And that's why a place like the Safe Center is so important, because they can get help. They can have other people stand up and support them and help them. Like, so if we, for instance, provide legal services, actual attorneys, to those who can't afford one, if they can't afford one on their own. We provide counseling, group and individual counseling, at no cost. So we don't ask if you're a millionaire or if you make, you know, no money. If you want our counseling services, you're entitled to them, as you know, and that's important. And we work so closely with, you know, Nassau County Police Department has a domestic violence liaison. And so we work with the police, we work with the district attorney, we work with the courts to get, if they choose to go through that route, to get people what they need. We provide transitional housing services. We even have a shelter, a 24-hour shelter, somewhere in Nassau County. And it is for it's a 17-bed facility, and it's for people whose lives have been victimized by abuse, where it's not safe for them to stay in their home anymore.
Unbelievable. Actually, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a little bit of an earlier break, and we're going to continue on with this. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.